Hi, this is Gary LaRood, the technical editor at Microwave Journal. At the most recent International Microwave Symposium, held in Boston, I was struck by the number of RFIC startups that have entered the market during the past couple of years, often rising from the proverbial ashes of product rationalization at the larger MMIC companies. I met Iconic RF at last year's IMS in Philadelphia. Two companies that debuted at IMS this year, Altum RF and Mixcom. These new entrants remind me of the pioneering gas MMIC days in the mid-1980s. However, this cycle, the opportunities of most interest are millimeter wave and GaN. In April, shortly after Altum RF officially announced its presence, I was able to speak with Greg Baker, a well-known industry veteran, to learn more about the new company. Here's our conversation. Greg, thank you for spending some time talking about this new entrant in the industry.
Thanks, Gary.
You left MACOM a little bit over a year ago, I believe spent some time working as a partner with a technology investment company, and now you have launched Altum RF. What motivated you to start a new RFIC company?
Yeah, we saw the opportunity with a lot of the consolidation and new business, especially on the higher frequency side of the RF spectrum. So we see, you know, with the mobile satellite, with 5G and numerous other high data type applications, there's a opportunity in the high frequency microwave to millimeter wave spectrum, and just a lack of people going after that with all the consolidation and shifting of the market.
How did you happen to name the company?
Well, we kind of brainstormed, and we thought about a lot of names, and Tony Federini, actually one of the co-founders, came up with that. And you know, I didn't really, you know, I've heard of Altum, like altimeter and things like that. And my daughter's taking Latin in high school, and I asked her, "Hey, is this a legitimate name?" And she said, "Yeah, it means from above or higher from above." And so we thought that was a good name, and you know, we wanted to tie it into the RF market as well. So that's where we came up with Altum RF.
I figured there was a story behind the name. That's a good one. It looks like from your website that the company is largely based in Eindhoven, the Netherlands. Why there?
Yeah, we had I actually lived in the Netherlands for a couple of years, worked for NXP, and that's where I met Niels and some other colleagues there. And we see it as a good base for the company. There's a lot of good technology and innovation there. And there's also opportunity in Europe. There's not a lot of domestic, you know, kind of local semiconductor companies there. And so we thought it was a good base for us. And we, teaming it with the design center that we have in Sydney, we thought it would be good to focus more as an international company, obviously also serving the U.S. And that's why I plan to stay in the U.S. for more of a strategy and sales perspective. But we thought that's a good location for an international company.
Yeah, it sounds definitely international. So tell us a little bit about your team.
Yeah, so it's myself, and then I mentioned Niels Kramer in Europe, and he's well-established at Philips and NXP. And then we have Tony Federini heading up the design team that we have in Sydney. It's about 10 people, mainly MMIC design engineers with a long background. And I actually started working with Tony back at MMIC's Broadband over 10 years ago. So, and then we have some other people that we're bringing in that I've worked with as far back as 20 years ago. So a lot of, you know, good chemistry in the team and very different degrees of competence. You know, Niels is very semiconductor technology market focused. Tony's, you know, very focused on design and modeling, and myself is more on the marketing and sales side. So I think we're a very complementary team.
Definitely sounds that way. So what's the elevator speech you tell people about the new company?
Yeah, I think it's just a focused company targeting the all the volume opportunities, you know, also on the higher end performance. We're obviously not a big scale company. We're fabless. We want to pick the interesting opportunities where there's innovation and unique performance. As a smaller company, you have to, you know, pick your targets carefully, not to really get run over by the larger volume-based semiconductor companies. But definitely, you know, on the performance innovation, focusing a lot on compound semiconductors, GaAs and GaN. You know, GaN is a very hot area, interesting area with the capabilities there. as well as also with our NXP ties, some silicon RF CMOS and SiGe capabilities, working with third-party design houses. So, we want to kind of offer the full line from baseband all the way up to millimeter wave. So that's our approach, more of the compound semiconductor design internally, and then working with third-party partners for the silicon side.
You commented earlier that you're focusing some on higher frequencies. What markets? Can you talk more about the markets you find interesting?
Yes. Yeah, there's the traditional infrastructure markets there's into ISM, like the test and measurement, off-the-shelf A&D, and we see a lot of opportunities with mobile SATCOM, Ku-Ka band, with the active antennas and the low Earth orbit systems coming online. Originally, we thought, 5G is such a large-scale market, we shouldn't go after that. But then we've been approached by several companies asking us for especially the front-end components. So we're looking at high-performance front-end PAs, LNAs, and switch applications, going up to 40 gigahertz. So that would cover, the 28 and 39 gigahertz band for 5G.
Well, you've talked about a pretty broad process portfolio, which would allow you to play in most market applications. How are you approaching assembly and test?
Yeah, we actually have working with some people I've worked with for a long time, and we've actually set up we have an office here in Dallas where we do a lot of the test system setup, writing the software, automated software for testing. And I just got back from a trip in Asia. And so our plan is to heavily base our operation, back-end operation in Asia, both in Taiwan, where a lot of the wafer fab is, as well as the Philippines, where there's packaging and test. So that's our plan, is to partner with a couple of key contract manufacturing partners there. And then we would we'd focus on, just partnering there and having a lot of the capabilities offshore.
I was perusing your website, and if I counted correctly, you have some 26 products listed on the website in a variety of functions. And that suggests that standard products will be part of your go-to-market strategy. Can you talk more about that, your portfolio you envision, and how you see it growing?
Yes. Going back to the days at Sorenza Microdevices, that's kind of the model that we're focusing on, is where we have a nice variety of catalog components. And then we would also entertain custom or semi-custom opportunities. But the real goal is we want to be a standard products company with some ability to integrate them for custom or semi-custom applications. So that's really our plan. And that's that's how we've gotten off the ground in the first products that we're targeting. Obviously, want to work with customers that want those products at the beginning, but then offer them in a catalog to the broad market.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you maybe would have relationships with distributors?
Yes, longer term we would. Obviously, until we get a bigger portfolio, we're not as focused on that. But that's on our list, and we would like to serve the market through the bigger customers direct, and then the broader market through distribution and sales partners.
You touched on this earlier, I think, when you talked about consolidation in the market. How do you see Ultim RF being differentiated, given there's still a pretty crowded field of RFIC suppliers with, as you noted, some pretty big and long-established players?
Yeah, I think for us, it's working with innovation on the leading processes. There's some next generation, both on the GaAs and GaN side. So higher frequency, the quarter micron, 0.15 micron GaN, for example. There's some nice optical millimeter wave GaAs processes that also have integrated more functionality. So those are the types of things we're looking at. It's in trying to be more of a first mover and innovative company offering either, a bit higher performance and more features. So that's really, trying to be a first mover in the market and pushing the limits. And then also being able to drive the cost down, working with volume, tier one volume contract manufacturers and other manufacturing partners.
Well, you personally have been in the RF semiconductor industry, I think, since the mid-90s, around the time the cellular market was really taking off. So that gives you something like a 25-year perspective. What's your view of the evolution of the industry and the markets?
Yeah, it's been interesting because originally, you know, in the early stages of the market, even on the handset side, it was a lot of discrete components, which is, you know, it's fun for engineers because then you get to develop a lot of the pieces. And then on the board side, you do a lot of integration and optimization. But now it's become more of a ASIC, you know, integrated. The baseband's moving up in frequency and you know, in direct conversion and digital domain. So I think, you know, that's been the challenge as an RF engineer. The digital and silicon keeps moving up in frequency. And so to do interesting, challenging projects, you end up moving up in frequency. But the good thing is there's plenty of activity there with the bandwidth requirements and the other systems that are coming online, like I mentioned with SATCOM and with 5G. So there's plenty of activity, plenty of opportunities, and, you know, integration will continue even on the high frequency side. You know, with scale, you're going to see that on 5G as well. But there's also a need for certain high performance components to complement the chipsets, you know, the SiGe and the CMOS capabilities, you know, either if for power, linearity, low noise, or higher performance. And then you also need the broadband components, like for the test and measurement applications, or for you know, for the defense applications, and you know, we didn't really talk a lot about aerospace and defense, but that's another area where we're focusing on just off the shelf components. You know, we were going to do a variety of high performance components that could also be used in aerospace and defense.
Yeah, that's sometimes a tricky market because of the customization required, but I think certainly the trend from my perspective has been trying to use more commercial off the shelf products.
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, on the defense side, they have to move, you know, time to market and cost is becoming a factor there as well.
Well, this is a pretty interesting time in the industry, from my perspective, kind of a new wave, given the move to millimeter wave, sort of a resurgence in the cellular market with 5G and some of the spinoffs like IoT and autonomous driving and so forth. So it seems like there's a lot of opportunity for RF, microwave, and millimeter wave designers.
Yeah, there is. And I think for us, it's just trying to pick the right applications, the right markets to go after where there's a need, and then to partner with some of the, you know, the right customers that will work with us on these types of things.
So I see that you will be exhibiting at the International Microwave Symposium, which is coming up in just a few weeks here in Boston. What are your objectives for IMS?
Yeah, that's really where we've kind of been quiet for the last, you know, we've been laying the infrastructure for about a year for the new company, and now we're just launching it. We've been issuing some press releases, and we'll have more coming out about myself joining, as well as Niels and Tony and the offices that we've set up in Eindhoven and Sydney. So that's coming out. And so it's pretty much just launching the company and talking about some of our early products that we have and some of the technologies and kind of our strategy in the market.
Good. Well, are there any points that we haven't discussed that you'd like to cover?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I appreciate the coverage that Microwave Journal has given us to start, and we hope, you know, to work more with you guys in the future. And really excited about it, and, you know, just ready to get started. And we want to, you know, just have a strong foundation and you know, be able to move more quickly and become a player in the market.
Well, thanks, Greg, for talking about this new venture, and we wish you and the company much success.
Okay, thank you, Gary.